Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Massachusetts education officials just issued guidelines for elementary and secondary schools on how to prevent bullying among students. By the end of this year, all public and private schools in Massachusetts must come up with a plan to comply with the state's new anti-bullying law. This issue has become a top priority for educators in the state since the recent suicide deaths of Phoebe Prince and Carl Walker Hoover, allegedly after they suffered from bullying by their peers. Mitchell Chester is the Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education for the State Department of Education, and he's with us by phone. Welcome to Radio Boston, Commissioner Chester.
Thank you, Sasha. Pleased to be with you.
Commissioner, can you give us a brief outline of what the state is suggesting schools do to comply with the new anti-bullying law? Because this week, your department issued a template guideline for how schools can create their own guideline packages by the end of the year.
That's right. The model guidelines that we produced do two things. First, they hone in very specifically on bullying and the actions that need to be taken both to protect the student who's being bullied as well as to address the aggressors. But secondly, the guidelines suggest that these actions have to take place within a broader framework of working on school culture and climate, trying to promote and insist on a school culture in which students are respectful of one another, are civil to one another, are tolerant of differences, and don't see that as a reason to pick on students. So it does those twin goals. It works on total school climate, encouraging students to be respectful and civil, and then secondly, it addresses the behavior of bullying when it occurs, how to prevent it, how to deal with it, how to deal both with the aggressor and with the student who's being bullied.
So sort of if A happens, you do B. How do you report bullying? How do you tell parents? When do you have to tell police? What's your internet safety policy? You're really spelling out for the schools very specifically. You need this written down so if it happens to you, you know what to do.
That's correct. Not only do you need it written down, but you need to train people on this. You need to train your staff, all of your staff, who are working with students, who deal with students, and that's not just classroom teachers, but that's everyone from custodians, cafeteria workers, bus drivers, and others, to be able to implement the policy accurately, to be able to recognize bullying when it's occurring, to be able to know who they should report to know how to address the students. Adults in the schools have to be very proactive on this.
Your comment about bus drivers and custodians is a reminder to all of us that anyone can see bullying, and it may even be the bus drivers and custodians who are most likely to see it. You know, Commissioner, this new law and this whole focus on bullying was brought about, of course, in large part by the death of Phoebe Prince. Phoebe was a 15-year-old student at South Hadley High School who committed suicide in January after being bullied. I talked earlier today with Emily Bazelon. Emily's a senior editor at the online magazine Slate. She's written a series of investigative stories on the Prince case. She's also looked over these new anti-bullying guidelines that your department put out just this week. And I asked her if she sees anything in them that could have prevented the death of Phoebe Prince.
I think that simply by putting this issue into the headlines and telling schools, you know, you're on notice, you have to have some way of dealing with this, the state has helped create an atmosphere in which everyone is thinking about this issue. And a lot of the experts I've talked to have said this is really the most important thing, that it's hard to get people's attention about bullying sometimes. But now in Massachusetts, this issue has everyone's attention. And so then if people are on alert and are thinking about the incidents that, you know, happen in a kind of everyday way, but really can add up to something very cruel for kids, then people may be more likely to act and report what they're seeing.
Now, according to your reporting, which, of course, you've taken a fair amount of heat for, Phoebe Prince was a deeply troubled student even before she met these students who are accused of bullying her. So part of your reporting has said it can be really, really hard for students and parents and schools to cope with bullying when a victim is psychologically vulnerable. So with that context, do you think guidelines can help?
I think they can help, but I think that a bullying prevention program is probably not enough on its own. And one thing that South Hadley High School has actually decided to do, independently of the state law, is to screen incoming ninth graders for risk of suicide, which in Phoebe's case, you know, might have really thrown up some more warning signs. And the other thing I think is a lesson from Phoebe's story and the school's handling of it is that while the school dealt with some of the things that happened to Phoebe in the school in the week or two before her death, they did it kind of incident by incident. There was never a moment where everybody in the administration or the counseling office sat down and thought, hey, we really need to think about this girl and how troubled she is and what we can do to keep her safe here in school, that kind of concerted effort. Now, I mean, I have to say, I feel like often it's only in hindsight that we really see the need for those things, but it does make me feel as a parent that I would want a school to be taking extra precautions for kids, particularly kids once they have made a serious suicide attempt.
Mitchell Chester, State Education Commissioner, you just heard Emily Bazelon refer to some of the South Hadley students calling what happened to Phoebe Prince normal girl drama. Do you think that, or is your hope that once students in Massachusetts go through this new anti-bullying training, they won't be quite so cavalier about what they might think of as just sort of usual teenager behavior?
Well, I hope so, and I'm not naive that simply training students one time or talking about it one time is going to do the trick. You know, I think that the adults in schools have to insist on model civil behavior both among students and between students and adults. And when the adults in school see behavior that doesn't conform to those expectations, adults have to call the students on that. They can't let that go. Ultimately, what you hope is that the student body themselves does not tolerate among their peer group bullying, harassment, mean-spirited behavior from one student to another, and that the best police for this kind of behavior are the peer group of the students themselves. So that's an ongoing task, something that our teachers and administrators, our other employees in our schools have to be diligent about and attentive to.
Listeners, we're talking about new guidelines to reduce bullying at schools in Massachusetts. Do you think that the schools in your community or the schools that your kids go to have a bullying climate? And do you think that these new rules could help that? Or could new rules result in some kids being punished unfairly? And, you know, is bullying just another name for kids being kids? If you have thoughts about this, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Commissioner Chester, one thing that these new state guidelines do is ask a lot of schools and teachers. There's going to be more paperwork, more meetings, more public comment periods. You've asked schools to collect and analyze data to measure how they're doing in terms of reducing bullying, which is a very difficult thing to measure. Given everything that teachers and schools do already, do schools have the time and money to do this?
Well, you know, I'd like to think this isn't a big expense. I'd like to think that this is work that schools should be doing anyways in terms of establishing the kinds of climate in schools that I've described, where students are tolerant of one another and are not mean-spirited, and where teachers and administrators and other employees of the district don't tolerate that kind of behavior. You know, I think it is challenging. I certainly want to give our school officials their due. I mean, it's challenging to know when you're dealing with bullying and the reporting requirements kick in, the parent notifications kick in, as to when it's not bullying. And there's a range of behavior that is mean-spirited among students, but not all of it is bullying. You know, forcing a student to give up his or her seat in the cafeteria by someone stronger is not bullying if, in fact, it's a one-time incident. So it's challenging to sort that out. The other piece that's challenging, and this came through with the interview that you played, is the fact that the ability to communicate among students through cyberspace, through Facebook, through emails, through texting, really complicates the task for our administrators and our teachers, being able to not just track behavior within the school walls and during the school day, but also to be aware of what's taking place at any time of the day through medium that is not tied to the school directly.
Mitchell Chester, Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education for the Massachusetts Department of Education. Thanks for talking to us. I understand you're in D.C. today, so I appreciate that you made the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We're also joined in our studio by Elizabeth Englander. She's a professor at Bridgewater State University, where she heads the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center, and she helped the state craft these guidelines that are now becoming a template for schools that need to have their own guidelines by the end of the year. Professor Englander, Commissioner Chester just talked about a really complicating factor in the 21st century, which is that bullying these days isn't so much a bunch of kids pummeling each other on the playground. It's cruel text messages and vicious Facebook postings and, you know, subtly socially ostracizing people. And I wonder if, no matter what we do and all these guidelines we've put in place, can we really make guidelines that help people find that and fix that?
Well, I think we could, but I think that this is a problem about citizenship, and it's about teaching children how to be good people and that their behavior matters online as well as offline. And one of the difficulties right now is that we really need to catch up to where the kids are, and we need to begin speaking to kids about these problems, not when they're in high school, but when they're in elementary school. And until we really begin doing that on a consistent basis and talk to them where they are about what they're doing and their behaviors, we're going to keep seeing these kinds of problems.
We have a call from a Chris from Natick. Chris, thank you for calling Radio Boston.
Hi, how are you, Sasha?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. My point goes along the lines that, I mean, it seems that teen suicide or you know, problems with troubled teens have really emerged to a significant level in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. At what point do we take a step back and realize that kids are always going to be kids? They're always going to socially ostracize other individuals who, for whatever reason, don't fit in the group. And while that's not, I mean, that's not a politically correct behavior, it's something that hasn't changed in 100 years. At what point does it become the parent's responsibility to step up to the plate and, you know, manage your child's mental health? I mean, when I grew up, I mean, I'm almost 30 years old, and there was certainly a fair amount of bullying going on, but my parents were involved enough in my upbringing that they didn't try and pawn off my inability to deal with social situations that were difficult on problems that my school teachers or my school administrators were, you know, responsible for. At the end, it came down to parents accepting responsibility to raise their children as opposed to saying, oh, it's not my fault, or blame it on the teachers or the school.
Elizabeth Englander, Chris makes the point that some people think that bullying, or what we now call bullying, is a part of life. And in fact, it might be an important part of kids' development. How do you deal with the taunting and whatever the 21st century version of that taunting is?
Well, I think the caller's right. I mean, to a certain extent, it has always been around. And dealing with it is a developmental task that kids have to learn. The difference is that things really are different today. It's really not the way it was 10 or 15 years ago. We know from research that things have changed demonstrably. And certainly the introduction of cyberspace and cyberbullying has changed bullying probably by far the most. So rather than sort of saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it, it's just part of childhood, what we need to do is we need to accept that just as we have to teach kids how to behave in school, we have to teach them how to behave with their families and how to behave online. And we have to help their parents get the tools they need to step up to the plate and to help their own kids. Because many parents today are trying hard, but they need help with this.
Now, some schools in Massachusetts haven't waited for the state to put out guidelines. They've already put in place new procedures to deal with bullies. And one of those is the public middle school in Sudbury, where over the summer, teachers and students had to read a book about bullying as part of a new school-wide focus on bullying. And we're joined in the studio by one of those teachers. This is Beth Beloff, who teaches English at Curtis Middle School in Sudbury. Beth, thank you for coming to the studio.
I'm very happy to be here.
So, Beth, give us a brief overview of the kind of anti-bullying training that Curtis Middle School in Sudbury is putting in place.
Mm-hmm. We've had an anti-bullying policy since 2007, I believe. Last year, a survey was conducted to assess students' feeling of safety in the school and whether there were incidents of bullying and what kinds and so forth. And I might add that 90% of the students surveyed felt safe, and one feature of that survey, which I think is really important, is that It focused on a person to go to, a go-to person in the school, someone to whom a student can go if they're feeling threatened or they're feeling insecure or they don't, or they have issues. So that was really something that came out that was very positive.
And so your school had the teachers and the students read a book over the summer called The Bystander, the title meaning someone who stands by and watches bullying happening. You're going to talk about the book. I think the author of the book is coming in.
He is.
Can reading a book really change the atmosphere of a school?
I'm very excited about this. I was on a committee with four other people who chose the book. And the reason that we chose it and the reason why the principal, Stephen Lambert, even came up with the idea, I think, is that we are going to return in September with an opportunity to have a common shared experience. So when the students return, we are going to have a day of dialogue. And we are going to be discussing the book, teachers discussing with students, and as a vehicle for identifying issues of bullying and also the whole idea of hopefully that the bystander will become the advocate.
So you think this could sink in and make kids think,
I do.
I should speak up and I will speak up.
I do.
We also have a call from someone who has a child who she says has experienced bullying, and that is Lucy from Westwood. Hi, Lucy. Thanks for calling Radio Boston.
Hi, Sasha. How you doing?
Good.
I think it's wonderful you're addressing this today. I have a 15-year-old who's on the autism spectrum. It's called PDD-NOS, not quite Asperger's, not quite autism, but definitely quirky. And he's experienced bullying in some ways, things we never knew about. The Census Bureau was doing a survey of families looking at crimes and how they affect families. So they would come every 6 months and ask things like, has anyone broken into your car? Have you had any identity theft and stuff? So and they would interview each person in the family. And one of these particular times, they started talking to my son. And we came to realize that there was a whole bunch of bullying that we had never heard about, that he had been tripped and pushed and sort of picked on when he was in the bathroom and different things. And one of the things about being in the autism spectrum is getting someone to communicate is really important. There isn't eye contact. There isn't the connection with nonverbal cues that you might find with other children.
Lucy, let me have Elizabeth Englander comment on that, because part of what the guidelines say is schools need to be aware of the type of student who might be vulnerable, a student who might be gay or bisexual or transgender, who might be homeless, maybe a student who has some sort of learning or autism spectrum disability.
Absolutely. In fact, what has to happen now is that when students who are on IEPs, individual education plans, and these are special needs students, when they are victims of bullying, the school has to address this through some of their goals. So, for example, the schools are going to need to begin to pay attention to their social skills and their ability to project their feelings or any problems they may be having and that kind of thing. So that's new. That's definitely new.
That's all the time we have for this topic today, unfortunately, but thank you to our guests. First, we heard from Mitchell Chester. He's the Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education for the State Department of Education. We also have in the studio Elizabeth Englander, Director of the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center at Bridgewater State University. And we have Beth Beloff, who teaches English at Curtis Middle School in Sudbury, which has had all its teachers and students read a book about bullying this summer. And they'll be talking about that and talking to the author of that book as the school year starts. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.